Hello and welcome to our site. This morning we commence a little series of sermons which I've given the general title, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. The question that we begin with today and try to answer today together is, how can I live in freedom? How can I live in freedom? If you have your Bible handy, would you please turn with me in the New Testament to Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 1 and then some selected verses. So, hope you have your Bible with you, or your Bible on your device, Galatians in the New Testament, the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 1. I see in the NIV translation this passage is headed, Freedom in Christ. How can I live in freedom as a Christian? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, says the apostle in verse 1 of chapter 5. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Then if you'll drop down to verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love, for the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, then, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we unpack this important question, how can I live in freedom? The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in what was then called the province of Galatia, saying, as we read in chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What a lovely verse! What a wonderful truth! It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 8:36 says, if the Son, that is Jesus, the Son of God, sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That's how we all want to live, as those who are free indeed. Both statements are set against a culture where everybody knew what it meant to be slaves. Slavery was a reality. In fact, we could say an accepted or normal part of life. Slaves were owned by their masters. They belonged to one another. They belonged to another, rather. They were not their own. The opposite of that was freedom. Very different to a life of slavery. Along comes Jesus, then, who teaches that we are all born into slavery, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. To put it plainly, we are born with a sinful bias, a fallen nature, and whether we like the idea or not, the reality is we grow up as slaves to the sinful nature that we have inherited from Adam, from our first parents. And the wage that sin pays in the end, says the Bible, is death. not just physical death, but more than that, a spiritual death, an eternity in which we're separated from God. The Bible calls that hell. The gospel is the good news that Jesus rescues us, in fact, delivers us from that dreadful and hopeless state. Through his representative and substitutionary death on the cross, Jesus has paid the ransom to set us free. He has redeemed us, bought us back for God, by shedding his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. When we believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus, by repenting of our sin, placing our trust in Christ alone, we are set free from the slavery of sin's ownership and control. Our sins are forgiven, and we have a restored relationship with God. And now, instead of being slaves of Satan and our sinful nature, we are born again, to use Jesus' words, born again spiritually reborn into the family of God. That's a Christian. We have become children of God, and more than that, co-heirs with Christ our Saviour to all the riches of heaven. Many of these riches we enjoy now in this love relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest riches is freedom. Freedom from the slavery of sin, freedom from the slavery of the devil, Satan, freedom from the slavery of self-centeredness, in the sense that that unholy trinity, Satan, sin, self-centeredness, is no longer our master as Christians. So to go back into slavery to that unholy trinity should be absolutely, utterly unthinkable. Only a deranged fool would want to go back to a torturous jail sentence. So the Bible is very clear that there are conditions we have to fulfill as Christians to stay out of slavery. To put it positively, there are certain things we must positively do to remain in freedom. They are straightforward. Let's list them. Straightforward, but non-negotiable. Number one, we cannot enjoy freedom if we're living with sin in our lives. Anything that is offensive to God. No matter what that sin is, whether it's in word or deed or commission or omission, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit will tell us exactly what it is that needs to be dealt with in our lives, that is spoiling our relationship with God and thus spoiling our enjoyment of freedom, the freedom that Christ purchased for us when he died and rose again. You don't need me to tell you what it is that is getting between you and God right now. God is quite capable of telling you if you're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through the Word. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, not mine, not the work of the preacher. We cannot enjoy freedom, dear friend, if we're living with unconfessed, undealt with sin in our lives that is offensive to God. That's obvious, isn't it? Secondly, you cannot enjoy the freedom God wants you to enjoy if you're out of the will of God, if you're not obeying the call of God on your life. To give you an extreme case, if God has called you to be a missionary and you choose to be a moneymaker, you'll never know the freedom and full blessing of God on your life. So thirdly, you will never enjoy freedom if you're not allowing your life to be molded by the truth of God's Word. God's Word is truth. Jesus said so. In fact, Jesus is himself the embodiment of the truth of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. So Jesus says, and it's recorded for us in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, that is the teaching of Jesus, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The application of the truth of God in our lives sets us free. To put it negatively, anyone who is not living according to the truth of God's revealed word, through and by Jesus, is actually living in error. You're living the wrong kind of life if you're not allowing your life to be molded by the truth of God's word. And such a life is never free as God wants it to be free. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproving, instructing us in right living, so that we'll be thoroughly furnished in every department of our life, in word and deed. The Bible gives us all that we need to be all that God wants us to be. So we'll never enjoy freedom if we're not allowing our lives to be molded by the truth of God's word. And then fourthly, you will never enjoy freedom if you're not filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And here we come to land on our text in Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul contrasts the difference between a life of bondage, a life of slavery, and a life of freedom, a life of liberty and joy. In Paul's terminology here, it's either a case of life according to the old nature, which he calls the flesh, and life in the spirit, that is, a life either lived in slavery to the sinful nature we've inherited from our first parents, a life lived in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And look once again at this telling contrast in Galatians chapter 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So now we must keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You'll never enjoy freedom if you're not being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And so, what an amazing passage of Scripture this is. Freedom is nowhere more eloquently spelt out than here in what Paul describes as the fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces when he is in control of the believer's life. And the last word is the best description. It's called self-control. In a word, the new self in Christ under the control of the Holy Spirit. Or to put it differently, enjoying the life and character of Jesus through the Holy Spirit's enabling. To put it simply, being like Jesus, that's freedom. He was the freest person who ever lived. Also, of course, the most self-controlled person who ever lived. And therein lay the secret. Friend, without self-control, we're in danger of being controlled by our own lusts and desires. Without self-control, we're in danger of being manipulated by others. Without self-control, we're in danger of being motivated by guilt or being mastered by the tyranny of the urgent, those things that clamor for immediate intention that may be urgent but not necessarily important or the most important things. And here's the point we must not miss. Friend, nobody has the right to manipulate you or intimidate you. God doesn't want you to be motivated by guilt. You'll never be free if you are monopolized by the tyranny of the urgent. These and other factors can all be the enemies of self-control. So this is what we need to understand. Just as the owner of a property is legally responsible for what happens on his or her property, holds the deed of control, as it were, within those physical boundary walls, so God makes each one of us responsible for maintaining legitimate boundaries in our lives as his children. Our boundaries give us the sense of ownership, stewardship, security, dignity, control, and freedom that God wants us to have. They both define us and help us to take responsibility for our lives, when to say yes, when to say no, and how to live in freedom. They help us to live as victors instead of victims. Having clear boundaries is essential to a healthy, balanced lifestyle. That's how Jesus lives. That's how he wants us to live. And so a boundary is a personal property line, if you like, that marks out those things for which you and I are personally responsible in our own lives. Our boundaries define who we are and who we are not, and they affect every area of our life. Physical boundaries determine who may touch us, how, and when. They protect our space. Mental boundaries give us freedom to have our own thoughts and opinions, no matter what other people think or say. Our emotional boundaries help us to deal with our own emotions and disengage us from the harmful, manipulative emotions of others. Spiritual boundaries help us to distinguish God's will from our own and give us renewed awe for our Creator. Often Christians focus so much on being loving and unselfish that they forget their own limits and limitations. If you've not read it yet, I would heartily recommend a book that's been on the market for some years now called Boundaries, written by Drs. Cloud and Townsend. They point out how boundaries offer biblically based insights into how to set those markers with our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends, our co-workers, even ourselves. Boundaries that help us to be like Jesus. Boundaries that help to give us the freedom to walk as the loving, giving, fulfilled, and self-controlled individuals that God created us to be, so that we don't allow the world or the flesh or the devil or anybody to define our lives or beat us around. The result of that can be diminishing, belittling, and indeed bondage. Now, it doesn't mean that our life will be easy, but it certainly means that being like Jesus, being like the Apostle Paul, even if we do have to suffer all kinds of hardship or abuse in doing the will of God, we will know shalom, the blessing of a life fully integrated into the purpose of God. And we will know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You see, God designed a world in which we have to live within ourselves, as it were. And the scriptures exhort us to guard our heart with all diligence. That's what it means to have boundaries, to guard your heart with all diligence. We're not to allow even those who are stronger than we are to plunder our house, to steal our treasures. Our boundaries help us to keep the pearls inside and the pigs outside. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls to the pigs. Boundaries help us to keep the pearls inside and the pigs outside. They help us to keep the good in and the bad out. God doesn't want us to be constantly emotionally or mentally or physically or financially or spiritually abused and raped by others. I must guard who I am in Christ, what I am in Christ. God will hold me accountable for that. That's why God hates all forms of sin. Sin is a violation of a divine or human boundary, from all forms of sexual sin to stealing and murder. That's why God hates sin as sin and treats sin as sin, because God is love. And he wants his loved ones to be protected from abuse by godly boundaries. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, when he is in control of the believer's life, is self-control. What a wonderful way to live. To live a life in which we are self-controlled, like Jesus was. Now, the most basic boundary-setting word, as the life of Jesus and the Word of God bears out, is the little word, no. The little word, no. It lets others know that you exist apart from them and that you're in control of you. Being clear about your no and your yes is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. Jesus taught it. His disciples taught it. No is a confrontational word, isn't it? And the Bible teaches that we are to confront people in love, saying no to whatever would violate our boundaries, because our boundaries are our Holy Spirit Christian convictions. It's a wonderful freeing thing to be able to say no, or no thank you. That behavior, or that place, or that language, or that substance is off limits for me. It's not acceptable. Okay? Thanks very much, but no thanks. What we're giving is the clear message, you will not be given the right to abuse my boundaries. Just make sure that you do that with a loving attitude. Don't lose control of your God-given property. Your life and every part of your life as a Christian belongs to God, and he wants it to be kept in good order. When it comes to your boundaries of truth, integrity, time, physical and emotional distance, other people, beliefs, attitudes, feelings, behavior, choices, values, talents, thoughts, desires, love, friends, these are the areas of our soul that God holds us accountable for. And here's the whole point. A good God helps us to live significantly and fully in an evil world by helping us to establish and maintain boundaries that are defined by the will of God for our lives. A good God helps us to live significantly and fully and freely in an evil world by helping us to establish and maintain boundaries that are defined by his will for our lives. Good parents will teach their children to establish and maintain boundaries that will save them from the harmful effects of manipulation and abuse. Physical boundaries, mental boundaries, emotional boundaries, spiritual boundaries, boundaries that will help them live within themselves, guarding the sacred property of their soul, resulting in both maturity, security, and liberty. Friends, you don't need me to tell you our world is often full of people, children, who are growing up without boundaries and ruining their world and ours. Sin is a violation of God-given boundaries. Christ has redeemed us and the Holy Spirit resides in us, so that boundaries can be put back where they belong. Jesus dealt with the penalty of sin, and the Holy Spirit helps us to deal with the power of sin, so that we don't have to stumble through the day in a haphazard, out-of-control fashion, but rather enjoy each day in freedom, self-control, and intimacy, because our lives have been restructured within the clear boundaries of our God-given convictions. Does that make sense? Am I coming through? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, when he is in control of your life, is self-control. You cannot have self-control without boundaries that define your God-given convictions and the will of God for your life. Let me dispel just some of the myths about boundaries. Number one, you're not being selfish, setting healthy boundaries. You're being a good steward of the life God has given you. Number two, boundaries are not a sign of rebellion or anger. They're a sign of wisdom when they're good boundaries, God-given convictions. They're a sign of wisdom, not rebellion or self-centeredness. Thirdly, you'll not lose your friends if you set good boundaries. If people don't respect your boundaries that are God-honoring, they don't love you anyway. Fourthly, you're not showing a lack of grace if you set boundaries and are gracious in keeping them in place. Boundaries are not a weapon, they're a protective mechanism. They save us from abuse and manipulation. They help us to be like Jesus, enjoying life in all its fullness, not manipulated by others, not motivated by guilt, not slaves to the tyranny of the urgent. How do I live in freedom? How do I know when to say yes and when to say no? How do I take control of my life so that I'm not manipulated or motivated by the wrong things or the wrong people or monopolized by the world, the flesh, and the devil? Well, the answer is, be like Jesus, who with so many human needs unmet, so many places not visited, so many things in life untouched, Jesus was able to say at the end of a 3.5-year ministry, Father, I have brought glory to you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. God, I didn't do everything, I didn't meet every need, I certainly didn't succumb to everybody's desire or what they wanted of me. But, Father, I have brought glory to you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's freedom. Freedom to know and do the will of God, as Jesus did. How did he do it? Answer, he lived within God-ordained boundaries. There were times when he warded off people demands and pressures that were merely urgent appeals on his time and energy in favor of what he knew was important, what was a priority, what was important because it was the will of his heavenly Father. He would not sacrifice what was best, even for what was merely good. In prayer before each day began, Jesus made sure he was in tune with the Father and maintained that relationship all through the day, every day, because his divinely given and established boundaries were in place every single day. His physical boundaries, his mental boundaries, his emotional boundaries, his spiritual boundaries. He was able, through the Holy Spirit's indwelling and enabling, to glorify God in a life of freedom. And in the same way, he offers that life to us. And as our text says, if the Son of God sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that in love you have destined for us a life of freedom, a life in which we're not living as slaves, in bondage to the world or the flesh or the devil, in bondage to the pressures of life or the manipulations of others. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live a life that is squeezed into a mold where we feel like we're in prison half the time. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to be motivated, manipulated, intimidated by others. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have ordained for us as followers of Jesus a life of freedom, that your word clearly declares it is for freedom that you have been set free in Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that if we follow your teaching, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so help us to establish the boundaries in our lives that will protect us from everything that is harmful, everything that would dishonor your name, and grant that we may live in the freedom and the liberty of Holy Spirit-enabled self-control. And so we praise you, our Father, that we are no longer slaves. Thank you that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Thank you that we've been raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places. Thank you that we're blessed in Christ with every blessing of the Holy Spirit in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that all the blessings of heaven are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, and King. Help us then to live in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to be filled and controlled by the Spirit of Jesus, that we may know the liberty, the joy, the freedom of living in the will of God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can seem all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. me.